glad to be here from the School of Nursing at Augusta, Georgia, and I did want to acknowledge my colleagues and fellow faculty in the corner over here as my support of being here, and also Betty Daniels, who is certainly involved with this project and this presentation. But again, we're from the School of Nursing, and what I'd like to do in my 15 minutes is share with you a little bit about the process of tailoring a health education program. So it's primarily looking at process. Before I can really get started, I need to give you a little background. Dr. Jeanette Andrews, who is my mentor and colleague who was unable to be here, for about 4, 5, or 6 years has been working in with vulnerable populations in neighborhoods in our city of Augusta, Georgia. And she has been working to build partnerships. We have had faculty, community health workers, community residents, and the local housing authority, and have created a diversity workforce. And together, they have worked to identify the health needs of vulnerable populations in the community. So I'm going to focus on the project, which was a smoking cessation intervention entitled Sister to Sister. This is the logo that group of residents and community health workers designed for this program. And together, over about a year, they wrote a program. The Sister to Sister program is for African American women. It is a program in which they meet for about once a week. They have a notebook with written materials, and then over several months they wean, you know, to a less frequent meeting. But it's the goal is smoking cessation for the women. This project, the research part of this project was funded or continues to be funded by the American Legacy Foundation, and you may have noticed they do have a booth here, so they are present, and the Georgia Cancer Coalition, and other team members besides faculty at the School of Nursing and the community health workers have been the women of the different housing projects, and as well as some other doctoral prepared students. Now, I entered this project about 2 years ago as a doctoral student in the Doctor of Nursing Practice program, and what I brought as being a research assistant in the evaluation phase of this project was an interest in health literacy and literacy. So I think this is one of the best slides to demonstrate a little bit about the problem of health literacy that we have in America. It's to 27 million people, both sides of this page look identical. So you can see that it certainly does have an impact. You know, I was thinking about that a little bit during that comedy step presentation last night. They were speaking another language a little bit. For those of you that missed that, it was hilarious. But anyway, language is certainly a key to understanding, to comprehension, and as nurses we know, a key to health and health status. And several years ago, the IOM report, Health Literacy, A Prescription to End Confusion. If you haven't really looked at this, it would be a great place to start to understanding the complexities of this problem. But we know that literacy and health literacy certainly impact a health status. And here's just a definition of health literacy, and recognizing you're putting literacy in a world that's very strange for most people, that has a language of its own, and also carries that, you know, what's going on. This is my health, this is life, this is family. So recognizing that, I wanted to merge my interest in literacy and health literacy with this current project that was going on in this community that had really strong participation by the health, the residents, and they were very open to guiding us to understand how to best meet them in terms of our educational approaches. And again, some more background. I encourage you all to recognize that health literacy is everywhere in the literature for healthcare workers now. And it is critical for us to understand the impact of that. We know it contributes to health disparities, negatively impacts the patient's response to understanding the information and ultimately their health behavior. And we also know that combining that health literacy with a tailoring toward cultural preferences is really the way to make a difference, because that's how people hear and how they learn, is meeting them where they are. All right, so the purpose of my part of this project, again, we were in the evaluation piece. This smoking cessation program was weaning off toward the end. And so I jumped in and said, let's tailor these materials. We have about 60 people that we can talk and can make a difference in seeing how they interpret that. So the purpose again was to tailor these materials based on literacy, health literacy, and sociocultural preferences in effort to impact the overall outcome of health behavior. The process. So there were basically four steps to the process that I worked with over about 3 or 4 or 6 months. Assessing the status, the readability of the current materials, and assessing the readability of at level of the participants. And then consulting with the experts, best practices, graphic designers. There's a Health Literacy Institute workshop that I participated in. And then the long-standing steps was revise and test and revise and test and revise and test. You keep taking it back to the population and seeing how you're doing with meeting their needs. So the first step was really taking the materials, and I mentioned that the people, we skipped one, but the, all of the participants had a notebook. It was about a 30-40 page notebook of materials that they brought with them to the weekly meetings in smoking cessation. Again, these had been carefully designed by the primarily with the research team. But the readability of the materials, many of you have heard of the Fry formula. There's several formulas out there, smog, fog, lots of different ones. I have, in my investigation, I've understood that the Fry is the best formula. It's all based on syllables and length of sentences. You actually have to do some counting. It takes about 20 minutes to thoroughly analyze some segments. You put it on a graph and you identify the readability of your materials. And overall, these 30, 40 pages of materials was about a 10th to 12th grade reading level. We know that in the healthcare world, most of the materials are at a high school level or higher. So we are missing the boat with that. Next step was to assess the literacy level of the people. So I did investigate the different literacy level instruments. You've probably heard about many of these. There are some reading and pronunciation tests and some comprehensive tests. Comprehension test, one of the newest ones is the newest vital sign, and I did put the reference there. But after looking at these, I chose to use the Realm, which is a very quick 3-minute reading and pronunciation test that highly correlates with the other test. And what I found was that, and this is the Realm, it's list of words, medical words, you have your population just read and pronounce, and then you give them a score of a reading level. And what I found were the participants were at a 7th grade reading level, actually anywhere from 3rd grade to high school level, but the mean was at 7th grade reading level. And you can see there's the mismatch. My materials were at 10th grade or higher, and the participants were at 7. So that was a big project. Consulted and made, next step was made revisions of the material and take the materials and the revisions back to the people, and I'm going to show you a few examples of that. But again, the only way to match was to go to the people, so that was critical. This is just a quick example of effective reading materials that I understood through my research and through working with consultants. And these are just some qualities of effective written material. Very focused, active voice, simple, single concepts, a lot of white space, bullet points, and that the readability should be less than 5th grade. It's even recommended under 3rd grade for much health materials. So I kept that in mind. I looked a lot at the vocabulary and looked and talked to the people. What do you think we mean when we say abnormal? And just adding those extra syllables. So fine-tuning my words to be less syllables and make it words that the population could interpret. So we went through that process again in some of my field testing. Cultural sensitivity, I just want to speak to this for a second, but this was another aspect of tailoring these materials. And if you could only read one article on cultural sensitivity, I would suggest this article by Resnikoff. It's Cultural Sensitivity in Public Health. And it certainly helped clarify for me to show the difference between surface structure, which we did pretty good. You know, we checked out the pictures. We made sure that they would look like the African-American population from what our perceptions were. And the deep structure, it really was helpful when I started looking at trends and themes from my field testing to see that we were falling right into this classic article. And I want to share with you just a few pictures. So these were some effective pictures that we used in our final product with the health smoking cessation materials. And the goal here was, when you look at this picture, what message do you get? And they could correctly identify these each time. Even the different smoking chemicals. This was a tremendous change from our original work. And they did well with that. These are a few things that were not affected that we used. For example, this picture of this lady. When I showed this to my participants in a group and on some individual, their interpretation was tremendous. Like, my intent was, this was near some content about, you're doing this for your children, you're quitting smoking, giving it up. And they looked at it and said, that is my neighbor next door who just died. Or that's my children who are screaming and driving me crazy and driving me to smoking. So, you know, it was we didn't use that picture. I love the picture on the right, the graphic, because that smoke was like a hand choking. No one got that. No one got that at all. Didn't know what that was about. The chains, it was under a part about, are you being chained to cigarettes? Does it drive your life? Well, immediately, like, this is slavery. We are not, you know, no. And I'm like, that didn't dawn on me. So you can see it was critical to talk to the people. And, y'all, I will just have to say, this is one of the worst graphics, the nutrition pyramid, the changes that were made. It is known to make absolutely no sense graphically in the world of low literacy. This is an example of a good final product that we had with the checklist, the pictures that they knew what they meant, and again, that interactive piece was important. So in our final product, again, we found that pictures were important, and we thought that with the African-American women, they wanted all African-American people in their workbook, but they said, white women, Asian women, everyone has a problem with smoking. We want everyone. So that was kind of something we didn't expect. We wanted to make it just for you, that culture, but they didn't vote on that direction. Matching the content with the messages, looking at captions, and again, I could certainly talk forever on that. It was very clear that in this population, health risk, they liked that scary information. They wanted you to really point out how you could benefit and the risk involved with smoking. Family and kinships, they wanted everyone involved. They said, can we invite all these other people to come and hear this? We want everyone to win. If we had a prize for someone who had the longest non-smoking, they wanted to share that with everybody in the room, not just one person. We all get a prize. So that family, that kinship, that support, all of this was very critical with it. And in conclusion, the final materials were at a fourth or fifth grade readability. Very simple page layouts, lots of white space. I know as healthcare providers, we wanted to say 47% of the people who smoke have this and this and this. That's unnecessary information. What do they need to know to do? Focus, focus, focus. It really made a difference. The visual illustrations to explain the concepts were critical. Most people said they look straight at the pictures first and then decide if they're going to read anything. Colorful ethnic graphic and photos of ordinary women, and integrating these concepts was certainly the key. And what we evaluated was readability, satisfaction, and preferences. Comprehension got a little difficult. And if you are interested in looking at comprehension, I would recommend DOAC, and ROOTS, Teaching Patients with Low Literacy Skills. It's a paperback book, 1996, and it guides you through many of these tools and instruments that I've used. But that's where we're working on now, is really looking at, do these things lead to changes in health behavior? So that evaluation process continues. And again, these are some of our primary community health workers here, but the implications are that to really serve the individuals more effectively, look and involve the population. Use the strategies that they say make a difference. And again, that's what we're doing, is working toward reducing health disparities in vulnerable populations. And I did want to leave you with, if you have not seen these videos, these are online videos that incorporate interviewing real people with the issues of health literacy. So there, you can Google them just in plain language, or help your patient understand, or health literacy videos, and you'll find these. But I have all my students look at these prior to coming to class to discuss it, because it makes it real when you see real people that you can't identify that do have literacy problems. So thank you very much.